Brundage, and today is May the 9th, 2005. Boy, I'm way behind the times, Red. And today we're talking to a very well-known gentleman back in Warwick, Rhode Island, Mr. Ev Mackin, and we're looking forward to an interesting conversation about his activities in the square dance world, which I know has been quite extensive, so helping out in the New England area. So, Ev, why don't you start by telling us where you're born and brought up, and tell us a little bit about what your life was like before you got involved in this big world of square dancing.
Okay, Bob, and it's a pleasure to talk to you. It really is. I was born in Cranston, Rhode Island. You want the date?
Yes.
June 11th,
1941. There you go.
Good time to be born, I guess.
Okay.
And I've been a very lucky individual. We started square dancing in 1969, started taking classes in 1969. Up to that point, I wasn't too involved in too many things, to tell you the truth. I was very active, no doubt about that. I was in the insurance business, so I was always on the road and meeting people, and things were going pretty good for me. And basically that's it.
Okay.
1969, I worked in the same company for 33 years, and we retired from that company in 1996.
Yeah. So were you... went through the school system there in Rhode Island?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Graduated from Coventry High School. We moved from Cranston, Rhode Island to Coventry, Rhode Island in 1948, I guess.
Did you come from any kind of a musical family?
My father would play the piano. We had a piano in the house, and he would play that.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry to say we lost him when I was 18 years old. I was in the Army at the time, but he never used music. He could play that piano, though.
Uh-huh.
And I enjoy music. I've always enjoyed music. We've always had record albums and always music in the house and music in the car. And
yeah.
Our children took piano lessons and so forth and in the school band.
What kind of branch of service were you?
I was in the Army. Signal Corps.
Signal Corps.
For a brief time.
Okay.
When my father passed away, I got out on a hardship discharge because we had two younger brothers and a sister at home.
Yes.
When I got back, they said, you got to come home and hook him up.
Brundage, and today is May the 9th, 2005. Boy, I'm way behind the times, Red. And today we're talking to a very well-known gentleman back in Warwick, Rhode Island, Mr. Ev Mackin, and we're looking forward to an interesting conversation about his activities in the square dance world, which I know has been quite extensive, so helping out in the New England area. So, Ev, why don't you start by telling us where you're born and brought up, and tell us a little bit about what your life was like before you got involved in this big world of square dancing.
Okay, Bob, and it's a pleasure to talk to you. It really is. I was born in Cranston, Rhode Island. You want the date?
Yes.
June 11th, 1941.
There you go.
Good time to be born, I guess.
Okay.
And I've been a very lucky individual. We started square dancing in 1969, started taking classes in 1969. Up to that point, I wasn't too involved in too many things, to tell you the truth. I was very active, no doubt about that. I was in the insurance business, so I was always on the road and meeting people, and things were going pretty good for me. And basically that's it.
Okay.
1969, I worked in the same company for 33 years, and we retired from that company in 1996.
Yeah. So were you went through the school system there in Rhode Island?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
graduated from Coventry High School. We moved to from Cranston, Rhode Island, to Coventry, Rhode Island in about 1948, I guess.
Did you come from any kind of a musical family?
Well, my father would play the piano. We had a piano in the house, and he would play that. I'm sorry to say we lost him when I was 18 years old. I was in the Army at the time, but he never used music. He could play that piano, though. And I enjoy music. I've always enjoyed music. We've always had record albums and always music in the house and music in the car. And
yeah.
Our children took piano lessons and so forth from the school bands.
What kind of branch of service were you?
I was in the Army. Signal Corps.
Signal Corps.
For a brief time.
Okay.
When my father passed away, I got out on a hardship discharge because we had two younger brothers and a sister at home.
Yes.
When I got back, they said, you got to come home and help your mother.
Okay, well, tell us about your first experience with square dancing.
Well, I always enjoyed country music, and I'd seen these square dancers on TV, and I knew it was around, but, you know, it was one of these best-kept secrets. And when I started the insurance business, I was collecting on a debit where you went, you know, collected the premiums.
Yes.
And I walked in this house one time, and I saw Western clothes on a hanger hanging on the back of a door. And I said, God, do you people have any chance square dance? And she said, yes, we do. I said, I think I'd like to try that. Well, she said, this Sunday night is the last night. This is the third night that you can get in. This is the last night. Come down this Sunday, and you can get started. And that, I went home and told the wife. And told her, I don't know if I told her, I asked her. I said, you want to go try it?
Right.
And that was it. We just fell in love with it right from the very beginning.
Okay.
We've been doing it ever since.
Who was your teacher then?
His name was Ben Smith. He'd been calling for a while. He worked for Snoeckel Oil Company, and this is what he did. And he was a wonderful person, encouraged us, and just was just a wonderful guy.
Uh-huh.
He's still around. He's not calling, though.
Yes.
He's not calling anymore.
I don't think I knew him. So
he stayed pretty much local right here in Rhode Island.
Right. Well, so then when did you get interested in calling?
Well, I was interested, I think, right from the beginning. I was fast. Now, we had the very beginner's mainstream list at that time. We started in like maybe September, and we were done in February or thereabouts.
Yes.
We'd learned all there was to learn at that time.
Yes.
But I was fascinated by what the caller would do, how he would move these people around, and I was fascinated by it. And I think we were maybe about a year and a half later, they had these amateur callers nights.
I see.
The club. We had an amateur caller night every year, and I learned a singing call, and I did a singing call the first year.
Yeah.
Scared to death, shaking like a leaf. And once I did that, then I said, well, now I've got to learn how to do the hoedown business, the hash business there. And,
yes.
And I we had a there were a couple of us, so we had a caller. His name was Bob Linden from Pawtucket. He came in and met with us down in the hall in the area where we lived here, and he spent some time with three of us so we could prepare to do this next amateur callers thing.
Yes.
And he taught me the system on what to do. Basically, it was a mental image system.
Uh-huh.
And I tried the next time to call the hoedown and the singing call, and
yes.
I started off pretty good with the hoedown, but then I got lost and had my problems. And
yes.
It's not as easy as the pros made it look, you know, but I stuck with it.
Right. So then what other instructor did you get besides Bob Linden?
Well, that was pretty much it as far as here. Then once I joined the Callers Association, this would have been around 1972, maybe, right off the bat, I went to the, obviously, I went to the old Johnson L. Brunger School up there.
Oh, good, good.
And that was extremely motivating, and God, there must have been 30 of us up there, and we had one heck of a time, people from all over the place.
Yes.
It was just a wonderful week, and I think I paid for that one, and then the following year, I applied for a scholarship Uh-huh. And I got a scholarship, and Arlene and I went to the next college school with
yes.
those folks.
And that's always good advice, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So,
I'd recommend it to anybody.
So then when did you start getting people together and forming clubs and so forth?
In 1973, I brought in a lot of people into square dancing. I brought relatives in, I brought friends in, I brought people I worked with into the activity, and it's just great. We travel all over the place. We're not too far from Connecticut. We were able to drive down to Earl Johnston's club on Wednesday nights.
Yes.
Maybe Thursday nights in Ledyard, Connecticut.
Yes.
And eventually we formed the club. We formed the Night Owl Square Dance Club in Coventry, and that got me going. I had a lot of support, awful lot of support, and eventually I just started getting the bookings and
great.
Going that way ever since.
Yeah. Well, were there any other collar schools you attended?
That was the only real formal school,
yeah.
other than the clinics that Necker would sponsor.
Yes,
you know,
right.
Third Sunday of every year.
Yes.
And what we would bring into our own collar association. So,
sure.
Like the Jim Mayos and people like that.
Yes, right. Well, who would you consider your principal mentor?
Probably Bob, because he got me started, and we were together a lot. We ended up moving to Massachusetts. We lived on Cape Cod for 18 years.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. In fact, any of the callers that I knew would stay at our homes, and Bob would spend time with me there.
Yeah.
All you ever did was talk square dancing. I mean, Kurt, that's all we talked about.
Yes. Well.
But a lot of the callers have been very good to me. A lot of them have.
Well, that's great. So, well, tell us about some of the festivals and like that you've been involved with.
Well, I probably started doing the New England Convention probably in 73 or 74.
Uh-huh.
And I've hit most of those. Back then, we were getting 8,000 and 10,000 people.
Yes.
And this last one we had around 1,000 people. You can see how that has changed, Bob.
Sure.
I wish there was something we could do about that. We all talk about it, but we're going to do more with it. We went to one Canadian convention up in New Brunswick.
Uh-huh.
And, Jim and Joanne Mayer went with us on that. I've traveled and done. Jim's a very good friend of mine. And been about everywhere he's been.
Yes.
And we've done the Caller Labs. Not regularly, but I've hit a few of them, and I found those extremely, extremely helpful. You always get something out of that.
Oh, sure. Right.
Very motivating.
How about national conventions?
No, have not been to a national convention.
Uh-huh. Okay. Have you made any recordings at all?
No.
No?
No, I haven't.
Well, okay.
Probably never will.
Okay. Well,
I'm basically a club caller. I get a lot of work in New England. I do about 130 nights a year.
Uh-huh.
At least that. And
well, that's pretty busy, and for a lot of people these days, so that's what, averaging a couple times a week anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're still active, of course.
Yes, I am.
Yeah. And you still have this you have your own home club?
The Whirlaways.
Whirlaways.
East Greenwich, Rhode Island,
Okay. And, all right.
Yeah.
One of the questions I've been asking people, you can think about it for a second. what did you ever find that appealing about calling? What kind of turned you on about it?
Don't misunderstand me. I think I enjoy the challenge of it, both the dancing of it and the calling of it, but I don't mean in a high-level sense, okay?
Yes, right.
I mean you've got to have your act together.
Yes.
Know? And I think I like that part of it.
Okay. Well, one of the things that I know you've been very involved in is the co-op committee, and the last I knew you were the chairman.
Yeah.
You're still chairman?
No. I resigned from that a year ago.
Okay.
I was in there about 5 years. What happened was, again, let's get back to Jim Mayos. I'm sure his name comes up a lot, but I liked Jim and knew Jim, and when I was at a convention one time, and Jim was in the hall dancing, and some of his friends were in there, people I didn't know, and they said, we ought to get Everett involved in the New England Council of Callers Associations.
Yes.
And at that time, I think Eddie Mayo was the chairman of NECA. Jim had already been chairman some time back. So they called me up sometime later after the convention. They said, what do you say? How about coming as NECA and we need a secretary? I said, no. But both of them got on the phone. And you can't say no.
Yes.
So that kind of got me started in that end of things, Bob. I went right through the chairs in NECA and up to chairman of NECA. I was chairman of NECA in 92 to 94.
All right.
And then I became a delegate from NECA to co-op at some point, probably
yes.
shortly thereafter.
Okay.
And
well, before we get too far,
yeah, sure.
Ev, I should mention for the people that are listening to this tape that NECA is the New England Council of Callers Associations.
Yes.
And the co-op committee is a committee that was formed to bring the cooperative efforts of NECA and EDSARDA, which is the Eastern District Square and Round Dance Association.
That's correct.
And NECORTA, which was the New England Council of Round Dance Teachers
yep.
Association,
yep.
and to coordinate the efforts of those three organizations together, a very important part of New England activity, I'm sure.
Quite unique, I believe.
Yes, quite unique, right.
Yeah.
So, and so you worked your way up through NECA and eventually into the co-op committee, right?
Yep.
And
I
then
think I started in there as secretary probably of that.
I see. And how long were you president?
In NECA?
Yes.
Yeah, you held the office for 2 years. The treasurer could keep succeeding himself, but the chairman, vice chairman, and the
yeah.
secretary had 2 year stints.
Or now, then how about the co-op committee?
That one can go as to like take you out, or you get out yourself. That one, there's no. I think there's only been maybe six co-op chairmen.
I see.
Since it was founded.
Yes. And you were chairman during what tenure?
Chairman of co-op?
Yeah.
Around 1999 to 2004, probably.
Yes, okay. Well, 5 years. Right. Well, one of the functions of the co-op committee, of course, is they call the Yankee Clipper Award.
Yes.
And you've been very active in that. The Yankee Clipper Award turns out to be actually the most prestigious award presented in the New England area.
I would say so. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so can you tell us a little bit more about Yankee Clipper?
Well, I've never received the Yankee Clipper Award, but it's definitely a prestigious award. And there's a committee of past Yankee Clipper recipients who...
I see.
Nominations, I would say, are sent to them.
Yes.
And they look over these more recommendations and nominations, and they're
right.
the ones who make a decision.
Right.
At this recent convention, we just had a Square Dance Club received it. It was only the second one to receive it. It was the Square Riggers.
Ah.
Square Dance Club out of Natick, Massachusetts, and I'm proud to say I was their caller for about 5 years. And
there you go.
Recently, that became quite a ride, so I backed off from that.
Oh, I didn't realize that the Square Dance Club would... I've been looking through the recipients of that, and I hadn't noticed that a Square Dance Club actually was a recipient of the award.
Yes.
That's interesting.
The first club to get it was the Fairs and Squares, which are still running out of Framingham, Massachusetts. And it was probably maybe, and I'm not sure, Bob, on this, okay, maybe 15, 20 years ago that they received it.
Uh-huh.
So there was a long, in fact, a lot of people were not aware of the fact that a club had,
yes,
had received it. And they started something new at the conventions a couple of years ago when I was co-op chairman, based on a recommendation from a club member that, why don't you have a section where the Yankee Clipper recipients all sit together at convention?
Yes.
During Celebrity Hour. And I said, that's a fantastic idea. We will do that.
Yeah.
And that's when we found out that there was a club that had it. So they invite the president, the current president of the club, to sit with the Yankee Clipper people. And you might have been part of that group.
Yes.
In that section when you received your award there.
Yes, I think I was.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that's very interesting. Well, I know the co-op committee's function was certainly an important part of the New England history of square dancing, and of course is a continuing thing even today. So
they do a lot of work, a lot of hard work, but they make it fun doing it. But they get an awful lot done. And there's some very dedicated people to make those drives to where they meet down in Worcester. Some of those people drive 3 and 4 hours to get there.
Sure.
They meet 4 times a year, so there's a lot of dedication being put in that.
Right, right. So, well, getting back to your calling, did you call Contras at all?
No, I didn't, Bob. I've had a short little bit of dancing them, and I love to dance them. When we lived on Cape Cod, there was a gentleman there that used to call Contras, and God, his name better come to me pretty soon, now that I've mentioned it. But every so often, during our classes or during our dances, Harold was his name, and I'll get his last name pretty soon, I'd ask him to do a Contra for the dance, about the middle of the dance, do a Contra. We didn't have rounds at the club. And so I'd be calling my square dancing, and maybe the third or fourth tip, he'd get up and do a Contra.
Uh-huh.
And after he got going with that, when I went back to square dancing, those people danced so good and so nice. It was absolutely amazing
what
dancing that Contra would do.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, how about round dancing? Did you get involved in that at all?
We round dance as dancers, not high-level rounds, but we do round dance. So yes, we are round dancers.
All right. Well, did you ever subscribe to any of the note services around?
I did. In fact, I subscribed to Earl's when he had it. Currently, I am not subscribing to one.
Yeah.
I probably should, but I'm not.
Well, I don't know if you should or not.
Yeah.
I think they're quite confusing. Yeah. I know I subscribed to Will Orlick's notes for years. And
oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'll have to tell you a good story about Will Orlick sometime, but, it's all very interesting.
I get to call all that information, and that keeps you pretty much
on
top of things.
Right. Well, so you've been involved with Caller Lab. When did you start with them?
Oh, boy, let's see. Probably around 78, 79, somewhere around there.
Yeah, and you said you've been to their conventions.
A few of them, I went in when you, quote, were invited.
Oh, yes, right.
Remember how they used to do that?
Yeah.
Send your name in or something like that.
Yes, right. Well, that's great. One of the things I've been asking other people that I have interviewed, do you have any regrets? Is there anything you wish you'd done differently?
Oh, that's quite a question. That's quite a question. Well, I've been a happy guy, I'll tell you that. I'm not very happy. Just wished I'd done more, that's all. I wish we could pick the numbers up. I don't know why we can't. We did a thing. I work with a group on Wednesday nights, and they go to the Dunkin' Donuts coffee and donut chain.
Oh, sure.
Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah.
Well, after these Wednesday nights, we go from 7 to 9, and they all go over to this Dunkin' Donuts to have coffee and a donut.
Yeah.
So they said to me one night, they said, how about next week you come with us? they've said that you can do a demonstration in the Dunkin' Donuts. I said, you got to be kidding me. And they said, no. I said, yeah, I'll do it. I'll be happy to do it. So we went last Wednesday night, coincidentally. And when we got in there, there were quite a few people in there. There was about 10 ladies sitting off on one side, and there was people in there. Now, these dances, about 8 or 9 couples have been going every week, and they just get in there and move the chairs and tables around. They all get comfortable.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing they did, and we had coffee and a donut, and then we started setting up to do the square dance. And, well, these ladies, when they just come from a week, they were all sitting in the corner having a coffee. But anyhow, we got 2 squares, believe it or not, in his Dunkin' Donuts, and I did a very, very short hoedown in the singing call, and we chatted a little bit. I told them we didn't have much time. I had to get them back to the home pretty soon. And we did another short hoedown and a singing call, and it was just great. They were clapping and having a good time. So.
Oh, great.
Spreading the word best we can.
Yeah, right. Well, I never heard of it at Dunkin' Donuts before. I see it at country fairs and like that.
Yeah.
That's another thing. Have you ever gotten involved in any of the country fairs demonstrating?
Yes, we did. When we lived, in fact, I've done a couple of those. When we lived in Coventry, they had an old homes week, they called it.
Uh-huh.
And we did square dancing there. And when we lived on Cape Cod, they down in Barnstable County Fair, we did a demonstration down there. They set us up in a certain spot, you know, and it was good for the area and to promote it.
Yeah.
One thing I did do, Bob, that I should have brought up is when I moved to the Cape, I went to the school system down there, and I said they had an adult ed program that was, well, I didn't go to it. I wanted to learn how to do some oil painting, and the high school had an adult ed thing going.
Okay.
And you could do carpentry and oil painting and all kinds of different things, mechanical work and all. So I went to them. I said, how about having a square dance, intro to square dance, at the next year's adult ed? And they went right for it and gave me a room. And believe it or not, I graduated 4 squares out of that adult ed. And
there
half
you go.
Of them were my neighbors. That
right.
Gone.
So did
and
you...
When I came to Warwick, moved back here in 90... back to Warwick, Rhode Island in 1997, and I went to the Warwick school system, and I did a couple of years of adult ed over there.
Yes.
But then they stopped it, Bob. They for some reason, they took it out of school. Why, I don't know. Whether it was, it could have been a liability or anything like that, but anyhow, they don't have it anymore, and I've tried, and can't do that anymore.
Oh, that's too bad, yeah. Well, back on Cape Cod, and after that, did you form a club with them, or was that...
No, I didn't, Bob. There were about 5 clubs on the Cape.
Oh, okay.
And I introduced them. In fact, when I had the graduation at the school adult ed, I invited all the club presidents to come to the graduation.
Yes.
And I introduced them and explained where the clubs were and so forth and so on, and most of them did do it and went into round dancing and became presidents and worked real hard out there.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny, my only experience with Cape Cod, the only date that I had out there that I remember, I had to hire an airplane to take me there. I was living at, my father had a poultry hatchery operation. And he had a very important meeting he had to go to all of a sudden. And I had to be home the following morning to take off a hatch of chicks.
Oh.
And the only way I could get to Cape Cod and do the dance and get back in time to do that was to hire her in an airplane.
I'll be done. I'll be done. That's something. She must have pulled down at some little airport out there.
Oh, yeah. Now, of course, this is a tiny little plane that took just a little 4-passenger thing.
Yeah.
But, well, that's my experience with Cape Cod.
Well, I wish I'd have been there when you were there.
Another question I've been asking people, too, is where do you think square dancing has been, and where do you think it is now? And where do you think it might be going?
Well, that's a $100,000 question, I guess.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of theories going around. We've got to make it simpler and so forth and so on. You know, I think the with the calling and all the figures and the challenges and so forth and so on, it's, you know, you can go from one degree to another degree, and somewhere in between, we just can't seem to find a spot that's going to keep everybody happy. You want to start a group and shelter them, Bob, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Just keep them, you know?
Right.
So, well. I mean, they say it'll come around again, and I'm sure it will. And
yeah, well, a lot of people have said to me that, well, they thought they were in the right place at the right time. Do you have that feeling about your experience?
I would say so, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, the halls were filler. You know, we talked about how many people went to the festivals or the conventions. And,
yeah.
Then all of a sudden, they started making that drop, you know?
Yes.
And, boy, try and fix it.
Right. Well, of course, everything has changed from what it used to be, obviously, with all the other problems that we have with everything that's taking people's time between computers and television and all kinds of things, cell phones, and people just don't take the time to enjoy the family life again.
That's right.
But, well, I think we're getting down near the end of this tape. If it happens to click off any time, why, we'll call it a day. But do you have any other hobbies, Ev?
I like to go fishing and try to become a better fly fisherman if I can.
Uh-huh.
I have friends that I go with, and we have a good time. We hit the rivers. We go into Connecticut an awful lot. You got some beautiful rivers in that state over there.
Right.
The Susitanic and the Farmington River.
Right.
We've done that. And
right.
In fact, I'm planning on going in a couple of weekends. So.
Good.
That's what I do to relax.
Yeah. Well, that's one hobby I never took up. But all right. Well, I think we've pretty much covered everything, unless you think of anything else.
I really can't, Bob, tell you the truth. I feel
okay.
Like I'm just a rather boring guy, but that's who I am.
Well, I know you have had a faithful square dance partner for these many years. We shouldn't have neglected Arlene.
Well, that's true.
Yes.
That's true. When I started calling, she was learning how to call. She was pregnant for our third child.
Uh-huh.